welcome to Whatever Works, our unique fortnightly podcast in which we talk about whatever works in our lives and in the lives of our community members. Find us at whateverworks.works. And why not join our community? Simply search for Whatever Works at MeWe.com and get stuck in.
Before you said that, so we can now be sure that you're editing something interesting, like me singing 12 geese are gobbling, or something equally inane.
You do realise we've started, Mr. Salmon. I just thought I'd let you. I just thought I'd let you have some Christmas joy there until you realised.
We started. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas. Oh, I haven't got any sleigh bells.
Oh.
Shame on me. Hang on. No sleigh bells. I'm looking in the cupboard. What have I got? I'll find something to make a noise with. And my sleigh bells are all packed up in my Santa costume. Oh, yeah, a tambourine. There we are. Christmas tambourine. Oh,
let's hear it.
Merry Christmas, everybody. La 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 la.
Very, very nice. Yes. Oh. Can't hear the tambourine, but that's fine. I'm sure it's there somewhere.
It's probably your hearing, dear.
We thought we would surprise everyone on the 25th of December and give you a little short Christmas special, whatever works.
Yay!
Because we've gone monthly and everyone's told us off for going monthly. But they're not the ones that have to collect all the content to yak about, are they? But very, very nice Christmas day it is here too. I'm going to go and cook my dad a Christmas lunch later on. And we will hope to have a bit of scoffing on that. I got a litre. I don't think I've ever seen a litre bottle of Cointreau for my present.
A litre.
Yeah. They come in these little kind of 70 CL bottles, but a litre.
Yeah, would you do me a favour, Ted? Nice. Would you consume it before we record the next Whatever Works? That could be fun.
I also got, not that I'm a bleeding alcoholic or anything, but I also got 12 bottles of Newcastle Brown.
Okay.
And also my last present was a tiny little Motorola Bluetooth speaker. It had to be. I've got to have a Bluetooth speaker every Christmas, which is very cute. I don't suppose you and your mother gave each other anything, did you?
Well, yes and no. I mean, no, because we haven't actually had our presents yet, because it's with my crazy Santa schedule I've had this year, we actually haven't done gifts yet. But no, because I probably won't get anything anyway. You're quite right.
you have a deal, don't you?
We do. We have a Scrooge-like deal in the family, which is basically, well, it's basically sod Christmas. You know, if we want to give somebody something for other reasons because we think it's something they genuinely like, then lovely, give it to them. And it doesn't have to be Christmas either. But if not, why run around panicking? Oh, goodness, Christmas is coming. What are we going to buy? We've had this conversation before. It'll be like, I'm sounding like a stuck record. But no, it's a lovely Christmas. I'm absolutely shattered. I've got one more Christmas gig later today. I'm in between gigs. On Christmas Day in the morning.
Wow.
Well, not in the afternoon, luckily. I'm heading back to the Chancery Rosewood Hotel, darling, in Mayfair, where I spent yesterday, and we'll be spending this afternoon as well. So, the big man. There's no Christmas Day for the big man. Work goes on even at Christmas.
So you're both going to go, are you?
No. Mum will be fine for a little while I'm away doing that. And then I'll be back this evening. And this evening is when I'm actually going to say, I'm going to have my moment when I actually, you know, take off the big black boots with the shiny bells for the very last time and relax in front of the telly and enjoy my Christmas at that point. But it's funny, you know, I mean, being a man who doesn't have his own family, I don't have kids of my own, it's quite nice to sort of have Christmas vicariously through other people's children. It's a bit like that thing where people say, I wish I could rent a child. I wish I could just rent a child for a couple of hours to have the enjoyment and then return them at the end of the day. I kind of get to do that as Santa. So
yeah,
that's cool. My Christmas, yeah.
But a big thank you to all of our listeners, by the way. Thank you for your support through 2025. We did decide to go monthly. And I think that that decision is probably the right one, even though it's a bit of a culture shock to begin with. But I think that in terms of the content and to make the idea, the whole concept of Whatever Works last longer, we're nearly 10 years in now. And, you know, with the best will in the world, these ideas can't last forever, can they? So, but thank you for everyone that's chipped into the MeWe group, helping us to get content together to talk about Claptrap for an hour. Would you say, Aidan?
I would absolutely concur. And Merry Christmas! Don't ask me anything serious today, Ted. It's Christmas Day. You're not going to get a serious answer out of me.
I will be serious and tell everyone that whateverworks.works is our website. And the MeWe group and all of that stuff is linked out to from there. And all of our other audio podcasts are accessible via tedsalmon.com. And if you want to book up Aidan Bell for anything, you can go to aidanbell.com, but perhaps not until he's had a bit of a rest.
Give me a break first, yes.
Right then, what should we throw at this show?
Well, interestingly, Gareth Williams posted a wee while back on MeWe saying, such a shame there's no Whatever Works now until after Christmas. We could have had a most interesting festive bauble series. Whatever works or doesn't. Well, Gareth, the good news for you, first of all, is we're here. It's Christmas Day. Merry Christmas. I feel like I'm one of those. I feel like I'm one of those black churches with my tambourine. I should be singing, "Yay, Lord, Merry Christmas." Yeah, maybe not. Gareth, back to Gareth, who posts a lovely picture, which I guess most of our listeners have seen. How many? One, two, three. About five lovely brown reindeer, fake reindeer, on a garden, but they seem to have been captured, ensnared by a fairy light. Net. Rather bizarre picture of these reindeer captured in a net. And this went on to produce some other interesting things, didn't it, Ted?
It did, yeah. That it looks like there's no electricity going to that. But if there was, let's hope it doesn't rain, dear. With Gareth in tow, I did put out a grand bauble competition in the group, but actually no one responded except me. I put two that I found in there, which were quite amusing. One is called Truck Nuts, is it? It's an American thing. And apparently in America, if you've got a truck, you hang this ball bag looking thing underneath the back axle, and it's called, I think it's called Truck Nuts. Have you heard of that?
I haven't, and I'm looking at this picture thinking, you know, regardless of your age or proclivity, do you really want a scrotum hanging on your Christmas tree? I mean, this is the question of the day.
Yeah, I suppose it's just probably that thing probably doesn't even exist. It's probably someone cooked it up in AI.
Yes. I'd be interested to know the instruction they gave AI to make it. I quite like the other one you've posted, which is a little picture of a bird, and it just says, "I love tits." I mean, there's a slight subtlety in that one, which is rather a bit more Frankie Howard. That one, I quite like that.
Oh no, please. Please, missus. No. So, I was talking about food earlier, and I'm going to cook my dad a full roast dinner. We're going to do it. A couple of weeks ago, my sister and brother-in-law came, and we kind of did our Christmas then. And we decided not to have a Christmas meal, but we decided to have a Indian takeaway. And I haven't had an Indian takeaway from a shop for about 5 years, from a restaurant or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely lovely, I have to say. Waiting 5 years between experiences. I used to say that, you know, save your money and buy it from Tesco. But when you actually have one, you can tell been made.
Oh, yeah. Here. I mean, good chicken tikka masala from an Indian is just divine. Oh, yes. Anytime.
I had a chicken boona and it was beautiful. It really was. And even my dad had a boona as well. My sister had chicken tikka masala, which was very, very red. Now, I was looking at the internet and looking at Christmas dinners, and I saw this survey going on about a bunch of people had asked the British public about vegetables and having vegetables at Christmas and whether they liked it. I remember when I was a kid, my sister used to just hate sprouts. She was made to eat one. My mother used to say, you've got to eat one. And so she would force it down and pinch her nose. Anyway, 59 people of those interviewed apparently said that they were a fan of the greens, and only 23% said they did not like them. And they placed across the whole survey, they placed sprouts 38th out of the 52 veg on the list. 52 veg. I remember once we had a Christmas lunch round at a pub after closing, the pub was shut. I just knew the owners. And we had this Christmas lunch with 17 vegetables. We counted them. But 52.
Somebody should make a set of cards with those. Well, it says here, and you've posted it, so it must be true. No, actually, I've heard about this before. KFC in Japan. They have KFC Christmas over there. And I have, as I say, I have heard of this before. Following a successful marketing campaign in the 70s featuring a Santa-clad Colonel Saunders, the fast food chain has become a customary Christmas go-to meal for people in Japan. In some restaurants, daily sales, this is amazing, can be 10 times the usual amount during the Christmas period. I mean,
wow.
That doesn't, for me, the snob, that doesn't register. KFC is divine. KFC is one of the loveliest tastes there is, and it's a treat now and again. But for Christmas? Well, whatever floats your boat.
When I, as you know, I used to be married to a Filipina.
Yes.
And that she loved KFC. KFC went to the Philippines, some years ago because of the American influx.
Yes.
In the 50s, I think it was. And KFC made it there. And they just loved it. And she used to tell me about this. Her sister was married to a Japanese bloke and they just lived in KFC in Japan. So I can definitely vouch for that. Mince pies, apparently, used to contain meat. Historic recipes show that at various points in history, mince pies would contain mutton, veal, and even tongue, which is really interesting because we're just used to having them sweet with ice cream or cream or custard or whatever. And can you imagine? It just changes the whole thing about mince pies.
It does, but it makes sense because I've always wondered at the name mince and why mince pies are called mince. And now we know it's probably because they were made with mincemeat.
That should have been a jingle.
That was one of those lovely pauses where we should have had a jingle and all we got for Christmas was Ted drinking a slurp of tea. But not to worry. Let's move on to festive favourite fare. Haven't we just done that?
Well, I was just going to say that I
please, after you.
A roasted dinner with all the trimmings. I only have it once a year, but just to explore that a bit further, I love bread sauce. And I know it's just carbohydrates, but it's just really festive. The turkey, of course, cranberry sauce, roast potatoes, sprouts, as we said earlier, gravy, the whole thing. And making it a once a year event for me, I never ever, apart from one time a year, have a roast dinner full of all that kind of stuff. So my favourite Xmas lunch is definitely going to be the traditional one. And if I had to choose a pudding or a sweet, as no doubt you were saying, your posh household.
Oh, no, pudding.
Pudding, love. I'd go for trifle. Part of the reason is because when you've scoffed yourself and made yourself so full up with a load of roast dinner, you want something a bit lighter. So a bit of trifle with a spoon of Haagen-Dazs vanilla will do me lovely. What about you?
I more or less concur with you, Ted. I've got to say, I am a roast dinner lover, and I tend to do a chicken most Sundays for my mother. So we, you know, roast dinner is part of my life throughout the year. But certainly at Christmas, I'm with you. It's the go-to meal is the Christmas full Monty. And in the old days when I used to do panto, and so I was, you know, a lot more sociable in those days. I had a group of people around me, and I used to, you know, I'd do 5 or 6 Christmas dinners a year at least. You know, every time we were out in the pub somewhere, what should I eat? I'd be, oh, Christmas dinner! It's December, Christmas dinner. These days, I'm a little bit less sociable with my Santa work and living at home with mum, so it tends to be just 1 or 2 times I'll have a Christmas meal, such as today. Love it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, as for the pudding, I don't generally eat a pudding or dessert. Most of the time now I'm trying to be a good boy and stay off the sweet stuff. But when I'm having a Christmas dinner, I think the idea of eating something light, that goes out the window. I mean, it's not a good Christmas dinner unless you have to sort of roll yourself to an easy boy in the living room and sit down in front of the telly. So I'm not worried about that. And for me, it's got to be the Christmas pud. Classic Christmas pud and custard is at any time. That's definitely my go-to Christmas pudding dinner. And isn't it interesting? Pudding, to me, pudding says spotted dick, treacle pudding, this kind of thick, stodgy, suety things. Dessert, or what was the other word you used? Sweet, sounds a bit more dainty. Yeah. Sounds a bit like profiteroles or something, or creme caramel or something. So, no, pudding all the way in this house.
Yeah, probably dessert is the most alien term to me. Of course, I know it, but I would never use it myself. I would never really use sweet. I would just say pudding, because I'm common as muck.
Pudding, 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 pudding. And now guess what? We can have a jingle. Woo-hey! I'll play my tambourine during the jingle. Here we go.
I want one of those.
Hey!
Do you know, I have a strange sense of deja vu. I think I went mad with the tambourine once before, but sorry, folks, I'm doing it again today because I've left my jingle bells in my Santa case.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll put more in the edit.
Don't tempt me.
Yes. Right, I want one of those. What is the best gift that Santa could bring me? And, of course, he hasn't. But one of the things that over the last year, we started this new podcast called Camera Creations, and I've been kind of deliberating about buying a camera to keep up with all the people in the group and what they're doing. And to me, lugging around a great big SLR with huge lenses is like yesterday's news. I want a little camera that I can put in my front jeans pocket, inverted commas. And that camera is the Ricoh GR 4, sorry, the fourth generation of the Ricoh GR. I know it's a techie item, but I really do like the look of it. And I had one a few years ago and sadly sold it again. And now they're like 1,000, 1,100 quid, 1,200 quid to buy one of these little cameras. Now, they do have a fixed lens, of course, so you can't, they're not that flexible, but they do have a really nice big APS-C sensor, which is a cut above any other, pretty much any other compact camera of that kind of ilk. Anyway, we won't get too technical. We'll keep that for the podcast, but that would be my Santa gift that I would demand from the old git.
Well, I've got a quick technical question to throw at you, if I may, because I really have dropped the tech ball in the last year or so. I remember in days of yore listening to you and Steve on the phone show chat and wanting to scream through my whatever I'm listening to it through speakers at Steve, because he would go on about these wonderful, wonderful cameras in phones and I'd be shouting, but the lens is the size of my fingernail. How can it be any good? Now, is it the case now that this Ricoh that you're loving is actually both a decent camera with a real proper lens size lens on it, but also containing the technical wizardry that a mobile phone has that's so clever? Or has that hybrid not yet come along?
To some degree, the biggest problem with phones, I think, is that not the lens or the glass, although that is important, being the size of your fingernail, it's the sensor. The sensors are just tiny, weeny, weeny. Now, Xiaomi have just, you know, recently been bringing out these one-inch sensors, which is the same as some of the Sony compact cameras. But, you know, even 1 inch is nowhere near what is inside this Ricoh. So in terms of image quality and what you can do with the aperture control, and the aperture control is one thing that is still really missing from any phones. They haven't got it, really. They use clever trickery with software to make those things kind of work. And to some degree, yes, that is creeping into standalone cameras, but that's not the point, really. If you want to do that, then go and buy a bloody phone. And I want a camera.
I'm with you there 100%. So, I mean, this, you're talking to the man who does indeed lug around a bloody great big DSLR Nikon 800, D800, with an additional battery pack on the bottom. I mean, my camera weighs a ton and I love it. You know me, bigger is better. I tell you what I want the man to bring me. I want, now this is this sounds boring, but hear me out. I want a brand new Polestar. Now, I may have mentioned on the show, I've got a new car. Well, I haven't actually. I've had it for a year and a half now. I've got this wonderful electric car. I've got a Polestar 2 EV, which is a 2021 car. So it was 3 years old when I bought it. And I absolutely adore adore it. And it has to be, even perhaps beyond my coffee machine, the greatest thing I've bought in the whole time that I've known you, Ted, and done this show with you. I adore my car. It really is. Once you've tasted blood, you'll never go back. I could never conceive of driving an ICE car again. I just love my car. And the idea of having a brand new one that's just rolled off the factory floor, the top of the range, with every single bell and whistle that they can throw at it, would just be, you know, heaven on a stick for me. So that's what I would like. A brand new, top of the range, out of the showroom Polestar. I'd be a happy boy.
Polestar 5, it seems. I'm just looking at their website, and it looks like it's up to number 5 now.
Yeah, I personally haven't seen the 5. I know up to the 4, and I have to say, I'm afraid I'd rather find the 3 and the 4 ugly. I love the 2. Mm-hmm. I think the 2 is a classy, elegant, sexy beast. So it might still be a 2. It might still be a brand new 2. But wouldn't it be lovely to go to the showroom where money is no object and say, well, I'll test drive this one, and then this afternoon I'll try that one, and tomorrow I'll come back and try that one, and then I'll let you know which one I want.
it looks like Santa doesn't work that way. It looks like you can still buy a brand new Polestar 2 though. £45,160, but you can buy a 2 still.
Hey, you said it. You said if there was no object, you could just have whatever you want. That's what I want. I want the Polestar. Thank you very much.
Good for you. They are nice, very attractive. Right, stocking fillers time now.
No jingles. Well, you didn't wait for the jingle, Ted. Anyway,
sorry.
I'm first. Shut your mouth. Stocking fillers. This is all Ted's work, ladies and gentlemen. I have to say, I've been running around being the fat man for the last, it feels like the last 10 years. So well done, and thank you, Ted, for filling up not only the stocking, but our recording notes. And I have here Spray Snow. 6 cans for £14. Ah, Judge Burton. No, cheap as chips indeed. Or even better, real fake snow. Oh, I see. You can get it in a can, or you can actually get artificial fake snow. Isn't that an oxymoron? Artificial fake snow for £6. So basically, yeah, these are great fun. I've had a lot of fun over the years with the fake snow, trying to make things look as if snow has fallen when it hasn't. And there they are. 6 cans of the stuff for £14.
The that stuff that they, if you click through to the fake artificial snow, it's basically in a bag, and then you just kind of grab a handful of it and chuck it over a tree or something.
Yeah, I think environmentalists would crucify you for it, because I think it's basically just shaven up bits of plastic. So not really something we should be encouraging people to buy, but nevertheless, it's great.
Okay. Santa building blocks is next. So there's this thing that you can buy, which is basically a Lego ripoff. But for £18, you can get this Santa that is 3 feet tall when you've made it. And it will really keep the little shits busy on Christmas Day, because, you know, when I'm wolfing down my Quantro, if I had any kids, 3,688 pieces. So the idea is that you've got... You buy basically a bunch of Lego bricks, but they're not Lego really, and you just set the kids to it. Say, right, there you go. Here's the blueprint. See you tomorrow. See you on Boxing Day. You get on with making your Santa. Looks really good. It looks like really good value for money. It should be £20 and it's £18.
I'm just trying to work out how much it is per piece. It's 0.004 pence per piece. There's a cheapest chips for you.
Very good. Well done.
Next is rechargeable hand warmers. These are great. 8,000 milliamp battery. Magnetic, so it's basically two pieces that clamp together. 8 hours of warmth, they claim. Yeah, there's all sorts of these warmer things. I mean, there's the classic old-fashioned ones that are in a plastic bag, aren't they? And you rip the bag open, and when they're exposed to the air, they just warm up. But they only work once, and then you chuck them. Also not good for the environment. These are much better. Rechargeable hand warmers. And what do they cost? £13. Not too bad.
Yeah. They look nice, don't they? And I thought of you when I saw them, because presumably you still get very cold hands.
I do, but you know what? It's another real thing I love about my Polestar. It has a lovely, yummy, cosy, warm steering wheel. No need for gloves in the car anymore, because my hands are kept warm by my steering wheel.
Tell me something about your car you don't like. Go on.
I'm not in it at the moment. I'm sitting here recording whatever. The next edition I should record from the car.
Right, the last stocking filler is the Beanie Warm Lined Hat. Very good for Christmas. And I bought one of these. In fact, I bought two, I think, over the years. It costs £9. And I can tell you that they are really super warm, particularly after I've just shaved my hair off. They're stretchy and they'll pretty much fit anyone because they're so stretchy and they're just lovely. I can't believe that they're only £9. But it's called a Beanie, and who's it made by? Oh yeah, here we go. Is by a thermal lining inside, nice, lovely wool. I've got it here, and if I didn't have my headphones on, I would have it on my head because it's so nice. £9, absolute bargain. Recommended hugely, and hopefully Santa will bring you one.
Oh, if you're on the nice list.
Christmas myths.
Very nice.
Oh, it's me. I've got to go straight in. What have we got here? Boxing Day likely comes from the tradition of giving boxes or gifts of money to service workers below the stairs, of course, not from people reboxing crap presents, says Ted. Do you know, when I was younger, I always thought it was something to do with fighting and people would have boxing matches the day after Christmas. Boxing Day. Yes, I've heard of this before. It comes from the tradition of giving gift boxes to those in the household lower than oneself.
And I think I remember reading that in Victorian times, the staff below stairs were supposed to be, you know, that they had to work on Christmas Day. And so they were given at least part of Boxing Day off, and they were given a box of stuff by the slave drivers upstairs.
Yes.
And afforded a few hours off, you know, and that seems to be, if you're upstairs, downstairs, it's that kind of thing, you know.
Yes.
I quite like the whole Green Father Christmas thing. I didn't really know much about it until I was living in Singleton, and in the museum in Singleton, they had this Green Father Christmas thing going on. I totally approve getting away from bloody religion and giving it to the tree-hugging hippies instead. And so Green Father Christmas is apparently the older folklore version of Santa. He wore green robes, symbolising winter's greenery and spring's return, representing new life, renewal, evergreen traditions, holly, mistletoe, and all that sort of thing. So I didn't, as I say, before I lived in Singleton, I'd never heard of Green Father Christmas, had you?
I had, but only because, a good few years ago now, when I was writing my musical, Santa, in collaboration with the fabulous Nigel Harvey, who played Santa in that show. He's a real Santa aficionado, and he informed us of the Green Santa. And there was a period during the writing of my musical when our Santa was going to be green.
Yeah.
We decided it would be something original, something different. And then we came to the conclusion, well, no, if you're doing a musical about Santa and everybody expects Santa to be red, it'd be a bit bizarre if he ended up being green. So, no, we went back to red. But yes, I do know the tradition through writing the show.
Well, there you go. You were obviously better informed than me.
Well, I tell you what I had to really inform myself about. I just thought I'd give you a quick lesson here. Did you know that Santa is not known throughout the world as Santa? He has all kinds of names. And I had to do some serious research into the myths of the different names by which Santa is known. For instance, Yule Tomten, Hoti Osho, I think you get that one's Japan, Eots Bobo, I can't actually remember where that one comes from, but my favourite is Onwa Hwen, which we took us a long, long time to learn to say Ong Na Huen, which is the Vietnamese for Santa. But there's some lyrics in the show that go, I'm going to read to you from the lyrics, in Finland, Yulupuki, Noel Baba in Turkey, I'm Mikolaus in Hungary, in Russia, Diet Moros, Yulinyesen in Norway, well, you pronounce it your way, but you can call me Santa Claus. I had a lot of fun there. And I remember lots and lots of effort of sent, because in those days there was no AI to talk to. I had to send emails out to, do you happen to speak Russian? Can you confirm that this is correct? You know, and how do you pronounce this? When we came to actually record it, it's all very well having a list that I got from Google. Oh, this is these are all the names of that Santa's known by. But we then had to find out how to say Ong Noir Huen properly, you know.
Yeah. Cool. It's a good education. Well done. I was watching Lovi, the Icelandic singer and musician, the other day, being interviewed about Christmas. And she came from Iceland, and she said that they have a really strange situation there where they have these, basically these Santa Claus, one for each day of the 12 days of Christmas. And some of them are really nasty and evil. And the myths of the history in Iceland about Santa, you know, any one of the 12 could be one that comes and frightens children or you know, is actually nasty to people, not the nice, cuddly, yes, red one that we have now.
There are also, when I lived in Vienna for several years, we used to celebrate Krampus, and he comes on the 6th of December, and he's also not a very nice character.
Right.
And I played Hare in Denmark many years ago, and I learned, I've forgotten it all now, but again, in Denmark, they have a series of different little elves and sprites that turn up in the Christmas season and get up to mischief. So, yeah, it all depends where you're living, really, doesn't it?
All good fun. And talking of Santa and music, Slinky Link.
Oh, yes. You just didn't want me to play the tambourine. That was it, wasn't it, Ted? Oh, it's me. You're handing over to me. Oh, this is a nice one. Jingle Bells, which I don't have any of, I'm afraid. It's not a Christmas song, it says here. Ooh. It was originally written for an American Thanksgiving program in 1857. They didn't have television in 1857.
A program is a word that doesn't have to necessarily be a television.
Anyway, it has some pretty risque lyrics, as well as encouraging the listener to deliberately find the fastest possible horse and ride a sleigh at reckless speeds. The lyric also implores listeners to pick up women and show them a good time on the slopes.
Hey.
As the song says, go it while you're young. Take the girls tonight.
Yay.
And it was the first song broadcast from space. On the 16th of December 1965, it was broadcast on board NASA's Gemini 6A spacecraft. Astronauts told Mission Control that they could see an unidentified object, probably in polar orbit, piloted by someone wearing a red suit. They then started playing jingle bells on a harmonica and a set of tiny sleigh bells, which they had smuggled on board without NASA's knowledge. Oh, that's lovely. Well sought there, Ted. Thank you. Nice
very
story.
Very nice, yeah. Can you play a harmonica?
No, not at all. It's very difficult. It's all to do with blowing and sucking and, yeah, no.
Yeah, I remember when I was a kid, Christmas morning, almost always, even though I already had a harmonica in my stocking, there would be another new one. It was a really cheap kind of present that you can get for kids. And I loved playing my harmonica, and I haven't played one for decades and decades long now. Perhaps I should get one and have another go, because I did enjoy it and it was good fun. And at that time, I think I did it quite well. So, yeah.
Well, good for you, sir. No, I've never managed at all. All the blowing some notes and sucking others, and also seems terribly unhygienic as well.
Yeah. White Christmas is the biggest selling single of all time, sticking with the music theme. The Bing Crosby version has shifted around 50 million copies worldwide. And the runner-up is Elton John's 97 version of Candle in the Wind. Was that the one when Diana died? I think, was that 97?
Yes. Yeah. Probably, yes, yes, yes.
33 million copies. Is it that long ago? 1990? Wow. Anyway, yeah, White Christmas. Of course, it's the song that everyone thinks of as soon as they think of Christmas, isn't it? So, yeah, nice one.
I'm gonna cause controversy here, but I'm going to say people bought Candle in the Wind, and good for them. I'm glad they did. But they did it in support of a cause, whereas people bought Bing Crosby because they liked the song. So in that respect, Bing Crosby wins hands down.
Yes, indeed.
Just saying.
I agree.
Every Christmas, my go-to Christmas is John Rutter, a classical composer, writes primarily or largely for choirs. Very nice, calming, gentle, beautiful choral music. The text is very often or usually based on religious texts. Now, you won't like that, Ted. And I'm not keen. I'm not religious either. I don't listen to the words, or I don't let the words worry me. I enjoy the beautiful music. I'm not sure if it would be your cup of tea, Ted. I don't know why. I have a feeling you might not like John Rutter, but give him a shot. Get your smart speaker to play John Rutter to you. Very nice, gentle, very Christmassy music. Enjoy it very much.
That's never heard of him.
Go-to. There you go. You live and learn.
Okay.
And of course, while we're here, I can't miss the shameless plug for Santa. I'm still knocking it around, hoping sooner or later somebody will decide to put it on in Las Vegas. In the meantime, there's a website where you can hear and see it all.
You can see the whole thing. How long does it run for?
No, you can't actually. No, I thought, well, what you can see is you probably remember 2 or 3 years ago we did an orchestral playthrough and we videoed all the main songs being performed. So you can't see it on the stage, but you can see an orchestra and choir and singers performing the songs from Santa on the Santa website, santasanta.co.uk.
Does it routinely get played anywhere or only you kind of generate it?
Not at all. Unfortunately, to be very honest with you, it didn't get anywhere. I mean, it was one of those things. I flogged it to death. I tried as hard as a human being can try to get interest in it. And there were no bites. So it hasn't yet had a stage production. It's had a full, as I say, it's had a full orchestral day, which is incredible and one of the best days of my life and something a lot of shows don't get. You know, it was something like 70 people altogether belting out my music, which was just a joy. But no, it's never been on the stage. So if you know any producers, send them over to santasanta.co.uk.
This is the sort of thing that will come out after you're dead, probably.
Exactly, it'll be posthumous.
Because you've got no kids, there'll be no one to benefit from all the money by then. Yes. Right, okay. The next thing I thought we might have a little look at on our Crimbo special is our highlight of the year. We started 2025 with Whatever Works 220.
Wow.
And we're now on Whatever Works 236. And my pick of the year, I think, the thing that's given me the most enjoyment has probably been that majority audio folio turntable, which was on in April. I bought that, and when it was on a special deal.
Yes.
But apart from the quality and the loveliness of this little unit, I also really like the backstory of these two guys in a garage, their garage in Cambridge, having a really good idea, setting up a company, making it work and getting production out there somehow. And it was like a Apple computer story.
Yes,
starting a garage. You want to support these guys, and that they do quite majority. They call the company Majority, and they do quite a lot of other audio items as well. And it's just worth a look at their website, which I'll put a link to in the show notes, because the turntable, the folio, really is ever so well thought out. And it's not a crappy, cheap 50 quid one from China. It's actually very, very good components and good parts, and the stylus is really good and all the rest of it. So that, I think that has to be my pick of the year.
I think it's lovely when you've got a product that you really, really enjoy and it's got a good provenance that you can support.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Indeed.
Indeed. I tell you what, mine is...
What about you?
Mine is, I suppose, in a way, it's a little bit selfish, but it touched me and gave me so much enjoyment the most, was I spoke in show 122 in February 2025, so February this year, about the amazing sculptress, Amelia Rowcroft, who sculpted my head.
It
was a job for me. She and her husband is a filmmaker, and they wanted to make a film about somebody having their head sculpted, and they chose me as an actor to do that. So it was a paid gig for me. But not only that, I got a head. I got to keep this phenomenal... I mean, it's just so good. And again, to do with the provenance, we're now living in a world where I'm sure I could find a booth in London somewhere where I could sit down and a laser would scan my face in 30 seconds flat, and then they'd produce an incredible lifelike bust of my face. This was done old school. This was done by a woman sitting there holding out, is it called calipers, against my face to get the measurements. And then and back and forth and back and forth and slowly, slowly, slowly building up a face with little tiny bits of clay and moulding it. And I came back a week later and she'd worked her magic on it from photographs that she'd taken on the day. And it was real old school. It reminded me of when I, long time ago now, 2010, I think, I did an advert for Tetley's tea bags. And they actually brought out of retirement the gentleman that used to animate the old Tetley Teabags folk in the good old days to do one more ad. And I got to act with midgets and tennis balls. And then when the advert came out, he had drawn in the cartoons. And that to me felt like, wow, I've taken part in an old school art that's dying. And I felt the same with this fantastic head. So not only have I got a wonderful show-off, ego-boosting bust of my head on the piano in the living room. I'm hearing noises. Sorry. Strange noises going on. Please ignore them, folks. Not only that, but I actually took part in a dying art. You know, where else can you get your face done properly apart from Amelia Rowcroft? Do look her up. She's a genius. The end.
Do you know how much she would charge for doing that if a punter came along and just wanted it done for themselves?
I think a lot. I think it's in the thousands. Or I think it's in the thousands depending on what kind of bust you want. Because she told me about, you know, if you want it in bronze, for instance, I think it's sort of 20, it's tens of thousands. What I got was it's not plastic. Plastic would be a rude word to describe. It's a sort of Cyrillic Play-Doh. That'd be the one. Mine's some sort of Cyrillic cast. But still pretty bloody expensive, but worth it. If you've got the money, well worth it.
It looks lovely, and people should click through and have a look at it in the show notes, because it really does look the bee's knees. Looks very much like you. Really, really good.
I thank you, sir.
Now we can have a jingle.
Oh, we can. I was going to do it with a tambourine, but we've got a jingle. Room 101. Well, we shouldn't really be putting things into room. Never mind, it's part of the show. What are you putting into room for Christmas?
I'm going to put carol singers and religion in there. Oh. Now you're going to hate this. Chuck a bucket of water over both of them. It's not what they do so much. It's embarrassing. You know, you open your front. I mean, we haven't had this for years, but you open your front door and you just got to stand there and look at them and smile sweetly, and it's all just so staged and it feels very, very Victorian. And for goodness sake, you know, go and do it in a park somewhere. Don't knock on my front door and do it. You gits clear off.
I'm sorry if there's the sound of a lawnmower going on. I hope it was loud enough to drown out Scrooge. I can't comment, Ted, except that old mantra, each to their own.
Yeah.
I would open the door. Anything? I would open the door and kindly partake and then say, sod off, it's getting cold. Yes. It does remind me, it's got nothing to do with Christmas, but it's worth telling again, the greatest off the cuff that my mother ever came out with was when she opened the door to a couple of Jehovah's Witnesses in the winter who stood there and said, "Madam, have you ever considered the end of the world?" And my mother, without batting an eyelid, said, "The end of the world is going to come a lot sooner for me if I stand here at the door. Goodbye."
And the same applies to trick and treat stuff as well, I think. It's just, I don't think people should be allowed to bang on doors and hawk. Is that the right word? Hawking. No, because if you're hawking, you're trying to sell something, aren't you?
Yeah, you see, yes and no. I don't like hawkers trying to sell stuff at the door, absolutely not. But I've also got nothing against trick-or-treaters, because it's a tradition and you know it's coming. Anyway, let's move on before we start having a Christmas fight. I don't like people who aren't prepared for shopping. I had the experience the other day, being in Tesco, standing there, watching the person in front, the lady in front of me, who just stood there sort of, you know, twiddling her thumbs and waiting for a cash checkout to be free. She then got to the self-checkout. She put her shopping through. Then she started to rummage around in her purse to find her phone, to open the case, to turn it on, to look for the app. And I thought, why didn't you do that while you were standing in the queue? It's like people, it's still absolutely, I'm flabbergasted. It still happens that I'm in a coffee shop and you're in a queue, and the person in front of you reaches the front of the queue and then says to the person serving, "Now, what shall I have? Let me have a look at the menu. I think I might have..." And you think, for f*** sake, you've been standing in this queue for 5 minutes. Couldn't you have decided in advance what you wanted to order?
Yeah,
it's
I
just
agree.
Very, very inconsiderate, especially in the run-up to Christmas when there's lots of people trying to get served as quickly as they can, not to just have a little foresight and just be a little bit prepared as you go through life. Prepare for the things that are coming. If you're standing in a queue and you know what's going to happen at the end of the queue, get ready for it in advance. And happy Christmas.
I agree. We've spoken before also. The other day I was in Tesco and there were two people nattering to each other and both of them had big trolleys at 45 degrees and they were just blocking the whole aisle.
Yeah.
No one could get past. And I'm actually walking up to them and making it obvious I'm there and they're just oblivious. They, you know, and unless you say to them, excuse me, can I get through? People have got no spatial awareness, I think. And so, yes, we could go on all day about shopping, probably.
Oh, dear. That's great. Calm down and be happy for Christmas now.
I think we ought to give a serious gold star to people today who are running essential services while the rest of us are pissing it up at home and gorging turkey. I took my turn doing this for probably 40 years of my life. I was always on call and I might not have always been at work, but I was certainly always on call and I had to be available to my work. You've got to kind of say a big gold star to those people running essential services, not just medical ones, but also, you know, keeping networks alive and water running and, you know, all the rest of it. So gold star to all those people that are working on this very day and the rest of it too.
I totally agree. I mean, if everybody had a holiday at the same time, the world would just break. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I had written in our recording notes, does playing Santa over Christmas count as well? But now that you've put it so eloquently, I don't think I should pop up and say, what about Santa? But
I don't know, because this afternoon you'll be giving lots of people lots of enjoyment.
Yeah,
why should the entertainment industry be excluded from essential services?
Yes, all right. A gold star for me. Thank you, Ted.
Well, we hope you've had a lovely time with us. We certainly have as well in our little shorter show. Have a lovely afternoon, everyone. And we do wish you a very, very happy Christmas and the rest of the day. Don't get too drunk and don't get too stuffed full of turkey. And we hope you've enjoyed the fact that we've come out and done this. Do you think?
I do. And it's been fun. And it did feel strange to me when we said goodbye in the last edition and thought, there's not going to be another Whatever Works before Christmas. So it's lovely to be here on the day to say Merry Christmas and hope you're having a good one. And have a lovely Happy New Year, everyone. And stay safe. And see you in January. See you in 2026.
Yeah. We're scheduled for 236, show 236 on the 6th of January, so the first week of January. We should be back with the scheduled show, and we'll see you then. Thanks once again to all of you for supporting us through the year, and let's hope we can keep it going for a long time yet. Any last words from you, or have you already done that?
No, I've got two last words, of course. What could they possibly be other than Merry Christmas!
Christmas.